This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon and welcome to Food for Thought with Carol normally, but Carol's not here. So today you have, this is Tracy Gregoire, and joining me today is Steve Freeman. We are on 107.7 WTPL, The Pulse in Concord, Manchester, and the Lakes region, as well as streaming all around the world on WTPLFM.com, which is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And anytime during the show, you can give us a call at 866-823-1077. We would love to hear from you. The number again is 866-823-1077. We'd also like to welcome our live audience here in the Beacon Building in downtown Manchester at 814 Elm Street. Come on down and have lunch at Midtown Cafe and watch the show. Anytime you want to check out a little bit about our show, you can go to foodforthoughtnh.com. You can watch past broadcasts as well. And you can also like us on Facebook at Food for Thought with Carol. So, Happy New Year. How are you doing, Steve?
Happy New Year. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well.
It seems like today is a little crazy everywhere.
Everywhere.
I think the cold has finally settled in with us all.
It has. And it was so nice because we had a little delay in the cold.
We did.
And so now that it's actually really here, I don't think it's processed in my head yet.
Well, because our brains have slowed down with the cold coming in now.
Is that a true thing? Does that really happen?
Oh, I know what happens to honeybees. They slow down when it gets cold.
A lot of animals do. Yes,
we're all mammals, so
it could possibly be true.
I'm sure it seems to be happening today, so it must be true.
But at least the sun is out. The sun is out today, and that does make it a little bit better. It's harder, I think, when it's cloudy and dreary and cold. I think having the sun out makes it get a little vitamin D, helps to pep you up a little
bit. It's the only way you can get it. No, it's actually kind of nice out today. It's not that cold, so I'll take it. But the ground is definitely, I'm glad we finally got some snow. The ground is definitely hard and slippery.
You know what's funny about that? Watching my 100-pound dog try to walk across it.
I've seen some videos on that recently. It is quite comical, the poor guys.
I feel bad for him every time he goes out there. Sometimes, though, it's really bad. Sometimes he'll, if he gets excited and starts to run around and play with the kids, he'll come in with little cuts on his paws from the ice because it's so sharp.
I've seen a lot of stuff online, actually. I don't have a dog right now, so I don't read into it, but there's a lot of you got to take care of your dog's paws in the winter.
I've never done that,
especially if they're out on the road salt. The road salt can really crack them open, just like it does for our hands. So always check your dog's paws when they come in from the cold weather. Make sure they're okay.
Yep, that's definitely a good tip. I'll have to do that. Luckily, he doesn't get out on salt very often. We don't use it really. We should, because we get a lot of ice, but my husband's just anal about getting every single bit of ice up.
I appreciate people like your husband. Get it out of the way as soon as you can, because it's only going to get worse and more difficult to remove. So the first plow, which happened last week, sets the tone for the whole winter, how much sidewalk, how much driveway, walkways, how safe you're going to be through the winter.
That's true. Luckily, we haven't had to deal with it much. I'm hoping with this whole El Nino thing, it's going to stay nice and mild. My fingers are crossed. I'm probably the only one.
Well, no, I'm sure you're not alone, but we will pay for it somewhere, especially in New England weather.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I knew the cold was going to get here, and I'm sure snow will be here soon.
And my kids, every single day, they want it to snow. You know, and I normally would too, because both my boys and I snowboard. And but I hurt my ankle last year snowboarding, so I can't snowboard this year. So I'm kind of like, no, let's just get it over with. And they're like, all they want to do is go snowboarding.
Well, you can be a lodge mom, soccer mom in the summer, lodge mom in the winter.
That's so not me. In fact, I almost just want to just go and drop them off so I don't have to look at the mountain, because that will make me sad.
Hey, there's a business plan for you entrepreneurs out there. Open up a spa. Mountainside.
There,
so for
go.
The lodge moms, at least they're getting a pedicure and a massage while the kids are skiing.
That's a good idea. So how was your Christmas and your holiday?
Christmas, holidays, time off, everything was wonderful. I will say it was very calm. And I went up to my sister's island in Maine for on Christmas Eve. And nice. I always shop the coast of Maine, great little locally owned stores, and I finish up Christmas shopping. And almost everywhere I went, I overheard the chatter, and everyone was like, it just doesn't feel like Christmas. It's 55 degrees out, and there's no snow on the ground.
But isn't it feeling like Christmas a mindset?
Christmas is a mindset, absolutely. It's the spirit of Christmas, right. Like the movie Elf, which I must see once a year. But for those of us who live in this area, I think we identify Christmas and Santa's sleigh with snow on the ground.
Right.
And the few Christmases we've had in my lifetime here, without snow on the ground, it just doesn't hit. And I told this story, and other people have shared the same sentiment. In 77 or 78, I was 7 or 8 years old. The whole family of 5 of us, 7 with mom and dad, were on a travel trailer vacation in Florida. And as a kid, palm trees, ocean. Yeah, it's fun. I swam all day, but I'm like, Mom, how's Santa's sleigh going to work in these on the sandy beach and stuff? And I've talked to a few other people who have done that with their kids, and all the kids have the same question from this part of the country.
Right.
No snow, no Santa. This ain't Christmas. So Christmas is really about a state of mind. I think it's more so about family and spending time together wherever you are.
I definitely agree with that. And I would say that every time someone said it didn't feel like Christmas, I'm like, oh, sure it does, because we're shopping and we're spending time with family. And really, you know, that's so. It's more about that.
Christmas for me was one workout with 2 of my sisters, which was great, and 4 days of pajamas, which is just.
I was in a lot of pajamas myself.
It's a wonderful thing.
It's kind of after you kind of get in that group, you think after Christmas is over. The whole week after Christmas when the boys are home, I always think I'm going to get a lot of projects done. And I did, but it was really hard to get dressed and leave the house.
Yes, it is.
I didn't want
it?
To do that.
Yes.
And that's okay. So I'm getting back in the groove. I thought I'd be a lot more productive this week, but I'm getting back in the groove.
I think this week's a bit crazy because 2 weeks off with the kids and school and traffic changes and stuff and snow's on the ground now. So I think people are, you know, after having that time off, still adjusting to, life.
Absolutely. So we have a great show today. I want to tell you a little bit about what we have coming on. Of course, we have the wonderful Steve Freeman.
Thank you.
After the break, we'll talk a little bit about any news that might have with the Manchester Food Co-op, see how that's going. Of course, we have to talk a little bit about goals and, you know, resolutions that people make. You know, every year it happens, and we all are kind of, it's a little scary because they come and they go so quickly. But so I have a little plan for that. Not my plan, but something that I'll share with you. And then at 105, we have Big Kahuna's out of Merrimack, a restaurant and catering place that is supposed to be phenomenal.
I've heard nothing but great things about
them. Yeah, so we have John Paul coming in from Big Kahuna's. And then at 1:30, we have Michael Hepley-Pierce, MHP Untapped. And I'm sure he'll have a guest for us. He almost always does. So it'll be a great show. I want to kind of go over the food holiday and the monthly holiday. So it's national. This is funny. I'm going to go with the first one. So there's a whole lot of them, you know. If you ever look it up, it's
every
national.
Day.
There's like 5 different monthly ones. Yeah. So there's a few monthly ones that I wrote down. National Soup Month, which totally makes sense. It's nice to have a nice warm bowl of soup in the wintertime, right? But it's also National Fat-Free Month. So I'm wondering, and anybody out there can call in if they have a good recipe or something for this. And I think soup, you know, hearty and not fat-free, quite the opposite.
Right.
So I'm wondering if there's any really great healthy soup recipes out there.
That are fat-free?
Yeah.
Maybe some
not
bone fat-free, broths.
But just, yeah.
which are really, I think they're going to be catching on as a franchise sort of thing.
Really?
Bone broths are really, really good for you because you're getting the marrow from animal bones, which is good for our bones. Mm. So it's start, and you drink it like a cup of tea or coffee.
Okay. So I have a story about that. A very vivid memory, many memories in my head about drinking just like chicken broth when I was in the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
We would go out to the rifle range. And of course, I was there in December and January. And February, Marine Corps boot camp is a long time. And we would be out in the rifle range, freezing cold.
Yeah.
And we're sitting, so you swap places. You know, half of the recruits would be out shooting the M16s. The other half is on the target side. So you're behind the targets, pulling, you know, below the targets, obviously, behind a berm. And we have to change the targets out. So you have all the recruits sitting out there freezing, changing the targets out. And we're like, you know, sitting on these benches that are metal, that are concrete, you know, like, brr. Yeah. And they would bring us chicken broth. And so anytime I think of broth like that, it reminds me of
freezing on a bench.
Freezing I was and how miserable I was at the rifle range in the Marine Corps. But I do still love it. It didn't give me a sad, like a negative connotation to it. I actually still love it, maybe because it warmed me up when I was freezing.
Right. So that's what's good about broth and soup. It really penetrates your deepest bones and warms you up.
Yeah, definitely. So it's good that it's makes sense that it's soup month, and it makes sense that it's fat-free month because everybody's got those New Year's resolutions, right? But it's also National Candy Month. Isn't that quite the contradiction?
There's a lot of sugar-free candy. Yeah, it is. National Candy Month,
National
right
Candy
after
Month and National Fat-Free Month. So I thought that was kind of ironic.
Choose which one you want to be loyal to and make the month of it.
I think December should be National Candy Month.
Candy and Cake Month.
And pie and cookies. Yeah, cookies are my thing.
Month.
Exactly.
Well, really, I think we were talking about it last time. It should really be from Halloween to Valentine's because that's really the season of giving and overeating.
True, definitely. Also on this day in 1972, it's not really food related, but the title is American Pie by Don McLean was number one on the charts.
1972?
Yep, on this day, 1972. So obviously it's not about pie, which is food related, but the title is.
Yeah.
Do you know what the part of the, what he was...
Yes, he was saying goodbye to
thank you. What he was,
Buddy Holly, the Big Bopper, and the third guy that
his
died.
His father, actually.
His father?
Yeah, one of them was his inspired. Thank you. That's he was inspired by. It was his father, I guess, died, and also Buddy Holly... And then there was a third one.
The Big Bopper was, there were, I thought it was.
Oh, it was on the, you mean that was on the plane together?
I thought it was about three musicians that died.
Yeah, it was about three people, but it was his dad, Buddy Holly, and then it was another thing that happened around the same time.
Okay.
But it might have been all three
I
of those as well.
I think it was the Big Bopper, but maybe someone will call in and correct
And I
that.
Never knew that. I just knew the song very well, obviously. But I was not even one when that song was number one on the charts.
Oh, I had headphones on my turntable when I was two listening to that. I did see Don McLean in the late 80s, and it was really because that song is such a part of growing up on AM radio for me. It was like a iconic American song, and to see him live, I was just blown away by that performance.
I just remembered who the third person was, Kennedy.
Oh, it was Kennedy?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's another song about Buddy Holly, the Big Bopper, and somebody else.
It could be still about all three of those, but it was three big events that kind of inspired him to for the song. So I thought that was interesting. I didn't know that. So I wanted to talk about a little bit about goal setting with losing weight, because that's – and it doesn't have to be just with losing weight, but this time of year, everybody sets a New Year's resolution.
Most people do.
And whether it lasts a day, a week, a month, maybe.
Or as long as you set it.
Yeah. It doesn't usually, and that's kind of the key, as long as you set it. A lot of times I will say, most people, myself included, will just say, you know, I'm going to be good. I'm going to lose weight. And it's very vague. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure you've heard of this. There's a system for setting goals that makes them a little bit more attainable. So if you don't want to be that person that just says, all right, I'm going to do it this year, and then you're a week into it and you quit, you want to put forth a little bit more effort and make this one stick, it's called the SMART planning.
Okay.
SMART. Have you heard of that? So
no.
S-M-A-R-T, SMART, S is be specific, M is make it measurable, A is accountable, and I'm going to go over all these again, R is make it realistic, and T is have a time frame. So SMART, specific, measurable, accountable, realistic, and time frame. So the first thing is, you know, maybe we all say, oh, I want to lose weight. But you don't say, you know, what it really is that you want to get out of it. So when I know you've been going through this journey for a while, Steve, when you lose weight, how do you feel?
Like Superman.
Yeah.
Like sexy Superman. For me, it's not the scale at all, because I really haven't lost a lot of weight, because I've been weight training and strength training and all those things. So I've replace fat with muscle, if you will. But when the belt goes down a loop and the pants are looser and the shirts are looser, and especially my neck around my dress shirts, that's when I feel success.
And you feel energized and happy and just better in your skin.
Yeah.
So it's really not about, you know, you're not, it's not just this this vague thing that says I want to lose weight. It's more specific. You're making it more specific. Why do I want to lose weight? I want to lose weight because I feel better. I feel happier. I feel healthier. I feel more energized. Mm-hmm. You know, write down the specific reasons why you have this goal. And that gives you a little bit more of a connection to it, you know, and again, it's writing it down so that you know what your goals are, not just say, I want to lose weight. I'm going to be good this year, because I do that every year. I'm going to be good. And this is partly why I'm doing this too, because everybody has this problem this time of year. Yeah. Very few people like have got it down pat and keep this lifestyle every year. I shouldn't say very few. I know there's plenty out there, but I would say not the majority.
Well, the plenty is probably less than 50%, because our population is more than 50% overweight. So.
Exactly.
But that's still, you know, a couple hundred million people.
Exactly. So then the second thing is to make your goals measurable. So, you know, if you just say, you know, I want to lose weight, but you don't make a specific
a target.
Yes. Yeah. So something that you want. I want to lose 25 pounds or something like that. Be specific and then break that down into smaller specific goals. So, you know, you want to do it healthy. You're going to not do more than 2 pounds a week.
Right.
So 1 to 2 pounds a week, generally, and break that down. So maybe by, you know, I want to lose this much a week. And then at the end of my time frame, I want to lose this much weight.
Right.
And again, write it down. You have to.
Journaling's a hugely.
So important.
A really big part of successful health management is journaling your activity and your diet and your nutrition. What you actually consume and what you do is like, wow.
Anytime
really
I've been
that.
Successful at it, that's why.
Yeah.
Because I put down every single thing that I put in my mouth. I kept track of it, and then I was, you know, more accountable. And that's actually the next thing.
Correct.
But as far as making it measurable, it's so easy now to track your progress. Before it was hard because I have to carry around this notebook or whatever with me. There's so many different wonderful apps out there that make it so easy and fun, actually, that you can. It just makes it a lot easier. It's convenient. You just tap a few numbers and it's there. So it makes it easy. There's really no excuse for keeping track of your goals. The next thing I mentioned is be accountable. So it's so easy to say, all right, I'm going to do this, but I'm not going to really tell anybody about it because what if I fail? You know, it's scary to think about failing and then you don't want anybody to know that you tried because you failed.
Take that word out of it, though. It's not a failure. Or maybe it, well, you,
that's true, but
you
that's
won't
what
succeed
people think.
If you don't, you know, failure is part of success.
It truly
not
is.
Everyone just succeeds
that's
every
a really
time.
Good point.
But don't let failure be at the back of your mind with trying something new. If you fail, learn from it, keep moving on, apply it to make the next try better.
Absolutely. Now, we have, I want to talk a little bit more about being accountable, but we have to go on a quick break.
Okay.
So, and we'll come back and finish the last couple of things, and then we'll talk a little bit about the Manchester Food Co-op. And in the green room now is John Paul from Big Kahuna's, so we're looking forward to talking with him at 1. So, you're listening to Food for Thought with Tracy Gregoire and Steve Freeman today, and on 107.7 The Pulse, and we'll be right back.
Returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. You're listening to Food for Thought with Carol, but Carol is out today, so she's still vacationing. So this is Tracy Gregoire, and with me today is Steve Freeman, and we are on 107.7 The Pulse WTPL. So Carol is officially married now.
Yes, she is.
Yes, she is. So she is still, she's had a few little vacations and then she's been home and then she's out again. So I think she's almost done and then she's going to be back, but she is officially married now. So if you're listening out there, Carol, congratulations. We look forward to seeing you again. So we were talking about the smart way of making goals. And just to kind of reiterate those, if you're just joining us, SMART is an acronym. for making goals. S is specific, M is measurable, A is being accountable, R is realistic, and T is having a time frame. So we are on the being accountable. And what I wanted to say about that is that anytime I have done something like this with a friend, I always do so much better. Not everybody is like mm-hmm. that, but I think as a rule, I think most people, if you have somebody that, whether you just share that goal with or that is doing it with you, it just makes it a lot better. And the apps that I mentioned, so many of them now, you can be friends with people. So
right.
like the Fitbit one, I was crazy last year. My friend and I, my running partner and I, were absolutely nuts, and we would be so competitive. And you're supposed to have 10,000 steps a day. That's the goal. You can sure. make your goal whatever you want, but the set goal is 10,000 steps a day. Because we were trying to one-up each other all the time, we were doing 20, 25,000 steps a day.
That's awesome.
Which is good, but it's a little crazy. But I would not have done that if I was just doing it on my own. Correct. Having that little competition yep. and having somebody to kind of, you know, motivate you every day, and you can send little messages to each other, that is what got me through last year when I was so successful at it.
For the accountability part on the 13-week program I'm in, I think there's three couples, married, whatever, and they are doing the best because they are accountable towards each other. They help each other yeah. stay on track sort of thing. They encourage each other to go to the gym, do the workouts. And the ones who are doing, have lost the most weight and have exercised the most are the ones who are most accountable to each other. Mm-hmm. I've definitely seen the accountability of another really, really helps as staying on your fitness goals.
And I think it really helps. You mentioned couples. It helps when that accountability person is in your home.
Sure.
Because when... that it's not necessary, but when your spouse is not on the same goal as you, or doesn't, maybe they don't have to be on the journey with you, but if they at least understand your journey and are supporting your journey. So maybe the wife is the one that's on the journey, but the husband in the house is the cook, or the husband is the one who does the grocery shopping or whatever, and they're bringing home all of these
right.
things that you don't want to eat, but then they're there. And so you indulge.
That's an important step.
It is. You have to at least, even if your accountability partner is not in the house, you have to try to get them on the same page and say, listen, this is my goal. I need you to help me be accountable
right.
and support me. And you can support me by not bringing those extra things into the house.
Yeah. If they're not in the house, you won't see them. You won't crave them.
That's so true. And if they are in the house... And I'm so good, but my husband for the Patriots game, I shouldn't say I'm so good. I'm really, really bad. I'm trying to be so good right now. He made like a dip this Sunday. Okay, that's fine. It was all good. But we still have the tortilla chips in the house. No, I haven't gone in there. I haven't, wanted to go in there and eat them. But he and the boys brought them into the living room last night. And that was all I needed to be like, okay, I'm just going to have a few. And then I had a few more. And then it was like, it's just having
That's
it
right.
there, you
yep.
know, if it's out of sight, out of mind, even being there. But once it was out in front of me, I was toast.
Reach for water instead of reaching for the basket of
yep.
food.
So that was being accountable. The next one is R, realistic. So set a realistic goal. And this is something I've tried. So in the past, I've always said, I want to lose, 40 pounds or whatever it is. It's always a big number. And I know that if I do it properly, I can reach it there. But it's this thing that seems like so far away mm-hmm. for me that am I really ever going to get there? So this year I'm breaking that down into smaller goals, but considering it one goal. So maybe 10 pounds. When I get to 10 pounds, then, maybe the next one will be 15 pounds. And just really trying to take it a little bit, little bites at a time instead of this huge goal. Forget about that big number. Make it a much more attainable goal, a much realistic goal, so that I'm not feeling like it's that impossible. Mm-hmm. Do you have experience with that?
Yeah, you have to be realistic. And I think most middle-aged folks now have heard it for 40 years. 1 to 2 pounds a week is attainable. And you can lose more on these systems that are designed for that. But the human body, think about how long it took to build this beautiful monument. I can't just shave it down overnight sort of thing. So give yourself a right. realistic time frame to get and you're making a lifestyle change. It's like all of a sudden you got to work second shift after working first or third shift your whole life. It's going to take some adjustment to do, just like quitting smoking or starting anything
right.
new. So to be realistic and talk to people who have gone through it and have had failures and found success through those failures. So
yep. And that's the thing. You can apply this philosophy, the SMART goal philosophy to anything that you want to accomplish.
You can.
You know, maybe it's you have a new business, you know, or a business that you want to take to the next level. You can apply this to that as well. It's not just about weight loss.
Right.
And you mentioned time frame, and that's the last thing is T, have a time frame. And I think that's really the key, because it's so easy to just say, even with a business, like, oh, I want to accomplish this by, you know, at some point this year, I want to accomplish this. Instead of having like, all right, by, you know, March 15th, which is my birthday, so I threw that out there. By March 15th, I want to have this accomplished.
Right.
And so you have a time frame, and make, and then it makes it, you're accountable to yourself now. I have to make that happen.
That's right.
So we have to go to break again. We still need to talk a little bit about
the co-op.
The co-op.
Yes.
So when we come back, we'll do that for just a few minutes, and then we'll be speaking with Big Kahuna.
The Big Kahuna.
The Big Kahuna.